Today was Canada Day, as you well know, and across our nation there were celebrations for Canada, though somewhat different and maybe muted than what they have been in the past. But I'm still so thankful for this country, for the privilege we have of serving Christ and honoring Him here and living in this great nation. Here in Westlock, there were some activities that took place over in the elementary school grounds during the day. And then at 11 o'clock at night, all of a sudden, crash, boom, bang, the fireworks started. But nothing compared to the display God put on early Sunday morning or Saturday morning. Wow, that was some kind of storm. We're thankful for His protection here and not too much destruction, I don't think. My aunt and a cousin who farmed between Carstairs and Didsbury were just on the edge of that tornado that went through down there. And some of their neighbors lost buildings. 5 homes were destroyed. Over 40 head of cattle had to be put down. It went through and it took out a whole bunch of their fences even. It said it just twisted up the barbed wire like a mixmaster. So pray for God's direction for those folks down there. But meanwhile, in our country here, we are thankful for His grace and peace. When those fireworks started last evening, 11 o'clock, I was laying in bed listening to them. And I thought, wow, we know here those are only fireworks. But in Ukraine, some other countries of the world, that kind of booming and banging would represent terror and attack. And I'm reminded of the fact that though we live in still a relatively peaceful nation, we are well aware that there is a conflict of kingdoms going on in our nation. And I want to talk to that a little bit this morning by turning to the psalm from which the title for our country comes from, Psalm 72. And I'd like to read this psalm, and then I want to make a few comments from it and leave you with a few challenges of how we live our lives here and now in this time in history in which we now live. Psalm 72. This psalm is included with a number of psalms that King David composed, prayers and thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. But this particular psalm is actually a psalm of Solomon's. And it begins with Solomon actually praying for his son and his son's leadership. But you will find as we read the psalm, it quickly points instead actually to a prayer and an expectation of the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. So I'd like to read the psalm this morning. So Holy Spirit, we invite you here, as we already have, Lord, to now come and anoint the word of God. Open our hearts and our minds to the truth of what you are saying to us through this psalm and how, Lord God, it affects us, encourages us, and motivates us to live our lives now. To the glory of God, I ask it. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations, he will come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings will fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba shall be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed is the Lord God, the King of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. We live in a beautiful land, and especially right here in this part of the world, beautiful combination of sun and moisture, of people and of land, it's most fruitful. But we know our country is also under stressors and things that are polarizing and straining our social fabric in many directions. There is a clash of kingdoms happening. And at the heart of it really is the issue of who will rule. Who will rule? Who will have dominion? It's a wonderful thing that our nation was named here from Psalm chapter 72, verse 8. Though really it does not include the full essence of this verse. The dominion of Canada, it's a scriptural name, but I believe that to truly call our country by its scriptural title, it should be, he will have dominion over our nation. And we as God's people here this morning really want to continue to believe and be part of God's established rule across our nation. So I'd like to look at this chapter and pull out a few verses and concepts of what we see about the kind of king that Psalm 72, that Solomon was addressing and looking forward to in this chapter. So we find that he is really pictured as the ideal king. Though the first four verses could indeed be a prayer that Solomon is making for his own son's rule, it really quickly morphs into an understanding, oh, this is a much bigger king than a single human being. This is the ideal king. And in his rule and reign, we see that he will reign in righteousness, in justice, and in peace. This rule of the king will bring peace to the nations and peace to the world. I love the word picture here that it's like rain on the mountains. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we had our community prayer meeting here, we had just had some rain, but we were praying for more moisture to come on our land. Well, God answered. But in the prayers that we had that night, one lady specifically prayed that the rain would be a symbol of God's healing on our nation as well. His healing coming down upon us. And here we see in Psalm 72 that there's actually this picture of God's healing rain falling on us. If you notice there, verse 6, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before the mowing, like showers that water the earth. God's touch and mercy on our land is what we desperately need for. So we look for this ideal king, the king of peace, the king of abundance, the king of justice. And we worship him accordingly. There are symbols in this chapter of worship of the Lord. We bow before him, it says in verse 9. His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will present presents before the king, and we will offer him gifts. All kings will fall down before him. All nations will serve him. The king, the Lord of lords, is due the worship of the nations. The king's longevity is mentioned in this psalm, that we will worship him and serve him even after the moon and the stars are gone, and that we will call him blessed above all names. The extension of the king's rule is mentioned here. Really, that this king, this Lord, our God and Savior, who is coming to rule and reign, is now in the process of continuing to extend his kingdom on the earth. And this is really what I wanted to have you think about this morning. In my reading over the last few weeks, I came across an interesting thought that there are three levels of authority mentioned in Scripture. There is God's authority, and it is called intrinsic authority. That means he, by character and nature, has all authority. By God of creation, design, and purpose, he has all authority over all things. He has intrinsic authority. Then he gives us authority, which is called delegated authority. He delegates his authority to us, that we might represent him and honor him in the way we live our lives and reach out and touch people around us. But the third level of authority is called usurped authority, where the devil comes and he tries to steal authority and take the authority for himself. And we see in scriptures that this conflict is clearly laid out, and that really Satan is recognized as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And this conflict of who's in authority has been with us since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So there's intrinsic authority, delegated authority, and usurped authority. I want to focus on this delegated authority. Until the Lord Jesus returns, he has given us a responsibility to honor and glorify him. Now, Jesus himself was delegated authority by his Father in heaven. So turn to John chapter 5, and I want to look at a few of these verses as we just understand this principle of delegated authority. John chapter 5, verse 19. Here's what the Lord Jesus himself said in verse 19. Jesus then answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, because of that you may marvel." The principle of how Jesus ministered on the earth during his time here was that he did not exercise any authority that could rightfully be due to the intrinsic authority he had as the Son of God, but he willingly set that authority aside, not using that, but instead living and ministering and serving out of the authority delegated to him, the Son of Man, perfect human, living on this earth. So he said, "I do only those things that I see my Father do. I say those things only what I hear my Father say." He was living out delegated authority. Go to chapter 5, verse 26. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Again, Jesus lived with delegated authority. Now, how did Jesus use that delegated authority on the earth? Many examples we could turn to, but for the sake of time, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 4, as Jesus began public ministry, and he stood in the synagogue in Nazareth and quoted a passage from Isaiah 61. And I believe this is a good outline of understanding how Jesus used this delegated authority. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, beginning in verse 17, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" the essence of the authority that Jesus was going to use, delegated from his Father, was one where he would heal the sick, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and so on. This lines up here with Psalm 72 of this ideal king that Solomon writes about, because in verse 12 it said, he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious will be their blood in his sight. You see, this heart of the king was one of compassion, of nurture, of care, especially for the poor and the needy of the earth. So Jesus quotes this passage here from Isaiah 61. Then we find, for instance, if you turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus went from this and he began to then minister to the community around. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 has an amazing summation of Jesus' ministry. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. What we find when we get to the end of Matthew chapter 28, that Jesus then gives his disciples the same authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It's been delegated to him. Now he's giving it to his disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus had already begun to prepare his disciples for this delegated authority and fulfilling God's will. If you turn to Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 70, there's some interesting thoughts here in this chapter. But basically, he was delegating this authority to them. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And down to verse 9, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And then when you go to verse 17, when they returned, They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't believe Jesus was necessarily saying this was just about authority over physical snakes and serpents, but it was authority in the spiritual realm. I give you authority. And so when it comes to the end of Matthew 28, as he is about to return to heaven, he gives his disciples the general ongoing authority now to go and represent him and his kingdom on this earth. And so, like these 70 sent out in Luke chapter 10, I believe that God has given us today the same authority that he gave his disciples, delegated authority. Authority by which we depend entirely on God for his supply, and we submit to him and his plan on the earth in which we live right now. We depend on God to first of all rule in every area of our lives, but then we extend his kingdom to the world around us. And like Jesus said and did in Matthew chapter 4, we preach, we teach, we pray, we expect God's presence and blessing to come as ambassadors under authority with God's authority in our lives. We extend the authority of the king. One of the interesting chapters where Jesus began to again to prepare his disciples for this was Matthew chapter 16, where that Peter speaks out the reality of the revelation of the Holy Spirit in his life when he said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And In Luke or Matthew chapter 16, Jesus then said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." We believe that to mean that on the confession of who Jesus Christ was, the church is built. But verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So this morning, as delegates, or ones who have been given delegated authority, Jesus has given us keys to use to represent him on the earth in which we now live. And these keys, he says in verse 19, are keys in which we can bind things or loose things. I'm not going to take a lot of time to teach on that this morning, but it really is the privilege of being able to, in the name of Jesus, say, nope, some things aren't going to happen, or some things will happen, and that the evil will be bound and unable to work in people's lives, and that the Spirit of God will be set free to touch people's lives, and that they can be set free and healed and delivered in order to follow the Lord. I believe, folks, God wants us to use the keys. Now, when Gail and I first started coming to the church here some 10 or more years ago, we were first just attending. And got involved a little bit with Sunday school, and I preached a few times and so on. But we always depended on somebody else to let us in the door. Because there was one thing I did not want to have prematurely. Do you know what it was? The keys. Because I know as soon as you're given a set of keys, responsibility comes with it, right? So as long as I could keep from having the sense of keys, there were certain responsibilities that I had no care about. But the day came when I needed a set of keys. So I got a key to the front door, I got a key to the offices, I got the all key to the other doors. I even have the key for the sound system. It's the smallest key, but probably the most problematic one. You know, when you got keys, there's lots of things to learn to go along with it. Learning functions of things, getting in, starting up things, and of course shut down, leaving. Some of you have keys like this too. You know the responsibilities that come with it. Well, here a couple of winters ago, one of the most frightening things happened to me. I lost the keys. And I knew how it happened. We had had a good snowfall here at the church. I brought my snowblower from home. And somehow, my keys fell out of my pocket, and I put them through the snowblower. How do you look for keys when they've gone through the snowblower? I couldn't find them. You know what? I felt sick. Because I was responsible for these keys. And I lost them. Well, what do you do when you lose keys? You search frantically. You search and search. I couldn't even ask Gail where they were because she wasn't part of the losing of them. You search and search. I finally gave up. I had to humble myself. Come to Trish in the office and say, "I lost my keys. Could you give me a new set?" She did. But you know, that spring, as the snow began to melt and the parking lot began to clear, my dear brother Keith rolled the garbage bin out to the sidewalk on a Tuesday afternoon. And there in the snow and the mud and the wet, my keys caught his attention and he picked them out of the ice. He returned my keys. And you know, I saw it as a gift, really, a miracle, that he found them there in the parking lot before somebody else did or whatever. And I returned the second set of keys that Trish had given me, and I'm holding on to this same original set now again. But they come with a sense of purpose, a sense of responsibility, but also with a real sense of caution. I got to pay attention to these keys. That's why I keep them snapped on my belt so they can't even fall out of my pocket. You thought I was just an old geezer, but this is really about not ever losing them again. You've been given a set of keys. It's the keys of the kingdom. You have been given the privilege and responsibility of opening doors and shutting doors. You've been given the keys to represent the king until he returns, until he has dominion over the whole earth and his glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. You have been given the keys. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Canada Day weekend, to continue to carry the keys well and to exercise them and use them regularly. Pray. Speak the name of Jesus. Allow the glory of God to come. Let God use you wherever he may put you as a representative of his kingdom. I believe it's a continual walk in our life that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every area of our lives that we know yet we're still struggling with surrender and submission to the Lord, we give way to him and let him come. It's a daily surrender. But even more so, as we live our lives in our homes, our families, our community, and so on, when we have a chance to be able to gently present the reality that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to heal the sick, the one who came to give recovery of sight to the blind, the one who came to touch people and set them free. We can share that and pray for people. I conclude with this last thought. Jesus taught us to pray in the name of Jesus. And I know there's probably lots of depth in that direction, but truly praying in the name of Jesus is simply taking responsibility and using the delegated authority God has given us. In the name of Jesus, under his authority, we exercise authority when we pray for God's will to be done. I'd like to ask the music team to come back. There's a beautiful song that I listen to often when I am praying over you, over the congregation. And this song is really praying the exercise, praying the authority of Jesus into people's situations and lives. In praying the name of Jesus over our community, over people, over situations. And I listen to this song often as a springboard to pray with the delegated authority God has given us. I trust that this song will be encouragement to you. It's written by a lady named Katie Nickel. And as you listen to this song this morning, maybe it's an invitation to let the Lord minister to you and allow his love, his healing, his hope in your life. Or maybe this morning you are considering the needs of someone else, a desperate situation. We learned this morning that our brother Paul Saint-Laurent was in emergency this morning. He's undergoing cancer treatment and some very significant things happening in his throat and esophagus. They're in emergency this morning. We don't know all that's happening, but we pray the name of Jesus over them. We're aware this morning that this week Tara Lee, MP, is due. First child. Let's pray in the name of Jesus for God to be with her in this delivery. Maybe there's other things in your lives and situations. So this team is going to minister this song to us this morning. We're going to put the words up so you can just watch them and let the words speak to you. But this is how we can use the delegated authority God has given us in this land. And so, Father, Psalm 72, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea," is a psalm and a verse that we claim for our nation. Jesus Christ will have dominion. And that, Lord, under your righteous, just, and peaceful reign, our nation will be blessed. We know there's conflicts in our nation over who will rule and reign. And Lord, we know that there are many who, Lord God, don't understand or who reject your love and your authority in their lives. We ask, O Father God, that in the name of Jesus, you will open people's hearts to you. I pray, O Lord God, that you will use us as your sons and daughters. Use us with the authority you've delegated to us to pray, to speak, to teach, and to bless people around us, that their hearts might be opened to the reality of Christ in their lives. Now, Lord, bless this song. Speak to our hearts through it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. After they sing this song, if there's anybody who would like prayer, we certainly have some elders here or others who are here as well. We want to pray the name of Jesus into your situation.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. Pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever. Greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the evil one would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit is now forever yours. Come believe it, come receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible. Come believe it, come receive it. Oh, the power of His Spirit. Receive it. possible. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the evil one would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. The dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.